Chevy Equinox with forward collision alert, automatic emergency braking, and available all-wheel drive. It's my ultimate mobile device. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule a test drive. Chevy Equinox. It's your choice. Own it.
On 720 WGN, good afternoon. It's John Williams on a Saturday. Remember, you can listen to me weekdays from 9 to noon, Monday through Friday. So on this January day, I thought it would be a good idea. I've been meaning to do something like this for a while, and that is tell you a little bit about some books that you might enjoy reading on a January or February day. Let's get through the winter with some good books. Turns out a friend of mine at the radio station, Sarah Tiemann, has had as a goal 100 books in a year. And she did read 100 books last year. I asked Sarah to join us and give you and me some good book recommendations. Hi, Sarah.
Hey, John.
Was it 100 exactly?
It was 100 on the dot.
What did you read the year before?
72.
100 books. So that's 8 times 12 is 90. So 8.5 books a month.
Yep.
So that's about 2 books a week.
Yes.
What was the best book you read this year?
Ooh, well, it's hard to narrow down because I came up with a list of 10. Toss up between Angie Thomas's The Hate U Give and Bernardine Evaristo's Girl, Woman, Other.
Start with the first one, The Hate U Give.
I immediately thought that if I were in education, I think every school child should read that book.
Why? What's it about?
It talks about basically the Black Lives Matter movement, and it puts you following this young, scared girl who ends up being in a situation with a friend where a very bad thing happens to that friend, and she's caught up in the car, watches it all happen, and then it's the fallout from that.
Is it a true story?
No. Fiction.
Who do you recommend read it? You said kids? Students?
Yep. I do think kids. I would probably say, 12 on up. It's hard nowadays. I feel like kids grow up so much faster. So I feel like, they're probably know more things
they're
faster
more,
than we
They're
did.
Readier for books earlier than we were when we were their age.
Right.
And I presume it's an empathetic account of what it was like for these people, and maybe you and I don't fully appreciate that.
It kind of makes everything you hear in the news about these stories, somebody being in the wrong place at the wrong time and a victim of violence, and makes it more real to you. And it was really powerful.
Alex Kotlowitz's book is like that for me, too, about an American summer in Chicago.
Oh, yeah. John
and I don't remember if that came out this past year. Did you have that on your list?
I didn't. My husband read that one, and we always kind of trade notes, and he was kind of on the fence about it, so I didn't pick it up, but maybe I'll add it to the list.
Well, a lot of the things you're saying were I felt about that book, and that is it makes me more empathetic, literally. I mean, what do I know about the lives of these inner city kids who are living around guns and gunfire? And here he is right in the living room, right in the car, right in the line of fire with these guys telling the stories. It's fantastic. You and I both read another book this year, and that was The Body. I read The Body by Bill Bryson.
That's on my list to read.
I've been reading too much from Bill Bryson's The Body, but it's a story about the human being, the body, and how it works. And it's just fascinating.
Yeah.
What did you read by Bill Bryson?
I read his Shakespeare book, which was good. Not my favorite Bill Bryson. If I had a favorite Bill Bryson.
His books can get pretty deep.
Yes, they can. This one was very I liked the historical part of it because by nature I love history. If I could read anything, it would be historical fiction.
Yeah.
It got pretty technical talking about Shakespeare's life, the ins and outs of some people think, he wrote all of his plays, other people don't. So it got into that depth and it was interesting.
If I'm not a Shakespeare fan, I don't know. I've never read a little bit of it. Would I enjoy this book?
Maybe.
Sarah, I'm going to post your list on my Facebook page if you don't mind.
Sure.
Let me throw some titles at you that caught my eye. You give me your 10 seconds.
Yep.
Tis by Frank McCourt.
Didn't love it. I haven't read Angela's Ashes. It was a lot more brutal than I thought it was going to be. And
his life in Ireland?
This one was more him in the States.
I see.
Angela's Ashes goes back to Ireland.
Yeah, I'm sorry that you were disappointed. The McCourts are both good writers, mm-hmm. and certainly Angela's Ashes, everybody seemed to love. Tis not so much for you. How about Fear, Trump in the White House by Bob Woodward?
A hard read.
Not a fascinating read.
It was fascinating, but it was also one of those where, oof.
My problem with that book, tell me if you felt this way or worried about this, is I don't know how much of this is true. I believe Woodward's a great journalist and, you know, he's got a great track record, but a lot of people are taking exception to some of the things he said,
right,
who are quoted in the book.
Right.
And yet it has the ring of truth.
Right. It felt like a...
I believe it,
yeah,
but I don't know how much of it I can.
Right.
And I hate to read a book like that, but I thought it was thoroughly fascinating.
Yeah.
Ray and Joan, The Man Who Made McDonald's Fortune and The Woman Who Gave It All Away by Nisa Napoli.
Also fascinating. She was a bit of a controversial character in how she went about things, but... I felt rather sympathetic with her, and it was an interesting read.
Being Ray's wife was not an easy thing.
Right.
And she did give all that money to the Salvation Army.
She did.
Near and dear to my heart.
Yep.
The Hate U Give, Angie Thomas.
Yep.
Educated, you finally got to Tara Westover's book.
I did.
And over a year on the bestseller list.
And, you know, it's funny, so... So I guess it's one of those things that makes me question about New York Times bestseller list, that not everything that's a bestseller are you going to love. And that Educated was one for me that felt that way.
It's about a woman who's, raised in the wild?
Yes. Her upbringing, fascinating, how she, you know, raised above her circumstances and the family life that she grew up in to get where she was. I mean, she ended up getting her master's or doing a thesis out in England, and a very smart woman. So I applaud her for that. It's just the story or the writing style. I guess maybe it was the writing style. It just didn't go where I thought it was going to go.
Let's do a fiction. Gentleman in Moscow.
One of my top 10 for the year.
Yeah.
Love that book.
Yeah.
Just different from anything else I had read. And the story was fascinating because he lived in a hotel, very rich man who, you know, through different circumstances was jailed in a hotel.
The hotel exists, but it is fiction, right?
Mm-hmm. It is fiction.
But I've seen reports about people now go to that hotel as tourists.
Yeah.
It's that book has been great for the hotel. The writing is positively lovely, and the man they describe is a fascinating fellow.
Yeah, he was great fun, and how he befriends other people in the hotel and how things kind of come back. It was just, I really love that one.
You read John Carreyrou's Bad Blood, Secrets and Lies in a Silicon Valley Startup. It's the story of
Elizabeth
Holmes.
Yes. That's another oof one. You're like, wow, people are like that. It's the, you know, that sociopath. I don't want to call her that, but...
Oh, I'll call her that. I mean, I don't know how else you describe a sociopath in her. But, I mean, wasn't she... I thought this was great reportage, and I thought it was great storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so contemporary.
Yes.
I mean, we haven't heard the end of this.
Right.
I love this book.
Well, and that's what I thought was interesting, because I'm curious. She's going to come back somehow, and what is she going to do next? And, you know, what scared me most of all is she messed around with health and people's health, and that's not something you should be messing around with, and that was a very, very concerning.
Yeah, if you're cheating to get rich, fine, but actually if you're cheating to get rich on a healthcare device that puts people in peril, then you... That's more than just cheating. You also read Will My Cat Eat My Eyeballs?
I love Caitlin Doughty.
Big Questions from Tiny Mortals About Death.
Yep.
This is a fun book,
yeah,
isn't it?
She's awesome.
What's the premise here? Crazy questions.
So questions that little kids write. And the beauty thing about kids is, you know, they're not afraid to ask anything. So legit, one of the questions in there is, will my cat eat my eyeballs when I die? And she tells you, and she gives you the science behind it. I think all of her books are fascinating. For me, her first one, I changed the way I thought about, you know, how I wanted my end to be. And yeah, she's great. I think I read two of hers this year.
And real quick, Sarah, I'm just going to fire off the titles of your top 10. Girl, Woman, Other.
Yep.
Pachinko, Aristotle, and Dante Discover the Secrets of the Universe.
Yes. Benjamin Alir Sayanez. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong.
Sounds,
but
yeah.
Fantastic.
Belonging, Daisy Jones and the Six.
Woo, that was a good one.
That read,
I love music, and I thought to myself, is this real? How did I not know this band existed? That was like a VH1 Behind the Music, kind of a stupid summer beach read. It was awesome.
Daisy Jones is a person and the Six is a band?
Yes.
And she's a groupie that follows them?
She's a singer that that band The Six ends up hiring as their lead singer.
This is a true story or fiction?
No, all fiction. But it read like VH1 Behind the Music, and I loved it.
Not My Father's Son, Alan Cumming.
Yes.
The actor.
Yep, he wrote his autobiography about his growing up and living with a very tumultuous father. And
boy, he's a terrific actor.
And the great thing is I did that one as an audiobook on one of our road trips, and he narrates it, so it was cool hearing him Scottish voice.
Just one last book to comment on, Where the Crawdads Sings. I'm so glad you got that. Crawdads Sing.
Mm-hmm. Delia Owens.
Brenda read that and yeah. Just thoroughly enchanted by it.
Yeah.
You too?
Yeah, loved it. I made John read that one too, and what I liked about that one is she captured place. So I could feel like I was, in the South, in the bayou. And
that's just a handful of your books. There are 100 of them. She did 100 this past year. Sarah Tiemann, a colleague of ours here at WGN Radio. I'll put the full list on my webpage at WGNradio.com and on my Facebook page. It's there now. I'm WGN King John on Facebook. Last question. What are you reading now?
I usually have more than one on the go, so I am reading Julie Andrews's Homework. I've read her first memoir. This is the follow-up. And I'm also reading Mary Schmeek's Even the Terrible Things Seem Beautiful to Me Now.
Collection of her articles updated. I've been reading through Mary Schmeek's book, too. Some of them you've seen before, some of them you haven't, but it's never a waste of time reading Mary once or twice. She's terrific.
And I'll give probably my favorite book that I'm guessing is going to make my top 10 list for 2020 is Lori Frankel's This Is How It Always Is, that I think everyone should read.
Sarah, thanks for coming in. Keep reading.
Thanks,
Let's give us an update maybe halfway through the year.
Will do.